All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Mary and Andy Geek Out. We had quite a hiatus in between episodes. A lot has happened. We had moved twice. We had worked several different jobs. We have moved across the U.S. twice. And we've been meaning to return to this podcast. And now we've had a good opportunity to do so. So we figured, why not get back into it, get back into the swing of things. So I think I'm really pretty happy that we get to do this again.
Current events has also given us a lot of extra time in our apartment.
Yes.
So our activity options are somewhat limited.
But this is great, though. You make it sound so sad. You make it sound
I just figured I needed a nod to when we are, you know?
Yes, that's
for
true.
Future generations.
As the Game Grumps are putting it, the Backstreet Boys reunion tour.
I don't think we're getting demonetized for mentioning it, though.
I know. Okay, so we are covering the last four episodes of season two of Teen Titans. And basically, the four episodes are Betrayal, Fractured, and the season finale, Aftershocks 1 and 2. Betrayal, the synopsis of this episode, Tara is now officially part of the Teen Titans group. She and Beast Boy basically go on a date. Tara betrays the Teen Titans. Robots come in. They have to fight them off. Slade fights Beast Boy, reveals...
Slade is there.
Yeah, Slade is there. He fights Beast Boy and reveals Tara's true allegiance. And she basically skedaddles.
Fractured is... a bit of a breather after that, before we get into the two-part finale, where Robin breaks his arm, decides to take it easy for once in his goddamn life, when his own Mixel Spittlet comes along and is like, nope, gotta fix your arm, and then they break reality.
Whew, that is a crazy episode, and looking forward to that discussion. And then the season finale, Aftershocks, where Tara basically attacks the Teen Titans. The Teen Titans basically go into hiding. She basically forces them into submission. And they get their revenge the following episode. Tara has a change of heart and saves Beast Boy, but then sacrifices herself and basically turns into a statue. Normal stuff. Before we go into the actual episodes, it's funny to think that three of these four episodes are really heavy, and then you have Fractured, which is just plopped right behind the season finale.
And we had forgotten that title was for that episode. Fractured looked like another Tara episode. It sounds so serious with the title like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because you got Betrayal. Like, if you listen to the titles, it goes Betrayal, Fractured, then Aftershocks. Fractured makes so much sense in the Tara sense, because maybe, you know, Tara breaks off of the group and they have to figure out what to do now that the team is maybe fracturing. But no, this is a super silly episode. I questioned the placement of this episode. I guess they wanted a lighter episode, but honestly, they should have had it right before Tara's betrayal episode, because then you're kind of... It makes the Teen Titans seem kind of... They don't really care that Tara's now gone, you know?
And working with one of their biggest enemies so far.
Yeah, it seems kind of off-putting. Anyway, so let's talk about Betrayal. So basically, the intro has all of these... the Teen Titans working together. They are doing a great job fighting against... their enemies, and really going to show that Tara is like now an official team member. I know we talked about earlier in previous episodes how they could have kind of melded Tara into the teamwork a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like actually give her like background, like supporting status instead of main character for every episode. I wish we got to see more of those kinds of episodes to show that
she to really was... make it hurt.
Yeah. Anyway, so we see that, and then Beast Boy obviously is in love with her, with Terra, and makes her a Silver Heart.
It's a mirror.
Yeah, that's right. It is a mirror. Which,
I'm going to advise everyone listening, never give somebody a mirror as a gift. It will turn into a symbol.
Ooh, yes. Also, I was getting some strong Aladdin vibes from this because...
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a reference.
Because Beast Boy asks her out and she says no. Like, she doesn't really feel like it. And then she changes her mind and she's basically floating outside his window on this huge boulder and literally asks him if he trusts her. Quote, do you trust me?
She's standing on a floating thing with her hand held out to him saying, do you trust me?
Yeah. Also, one thing that they established here as well is that she also has her own room, too,
and
which is
she's
nice.
Completely decorated it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got wallpaper, so it looks like the wilderness. Did she paint it herself? Who knows? We should have had that episode. It would have been cute.
It's also a nice dynamic, because her room's clean, and Beast Boy's room is completely messy, too. So yes. Really kind of show they're not all kind of cookie-cutter-like rooms.
Yes.
Because I think when we see Cyborg's room, his is more laboratory-like. Doesn't he sleep on like an operating table?
I can't remember. That sounds uncomfortable for his human part.
Yes.
Also, I just want to go back to Beast Boy's present. It kind of sucks. He made it himself, which gives him points, but somehow Glue Gun was involved in something that clearly was just put together with screws from a kit.
Yeah, exactly.
At least they could have put glitter on it, you know?
It's pretty basic. If anything, you know what, you know, I just thought of this and then it just immediately took me to Avatar The Last Airbender. Remember when Sokka created his meteor sword and then he had a little bit left over and he gave the last of it to Toph? And so Toph made it into like a little bracelet that she would like mold around and then she...
That's where that came from.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Which is kind of really cool. So you think he would give her, like, a cool, like, a rock made out of some sort of material or whatever. Like,
yeah, something more her.
Yeah. Because I could totally imagine the exact same scenario playing out. He gives her, like, a rare material of some kind and she makes it, like, a little bracelet or necklace or whatever.
I don't think she can bend like that. It's more telekinesis.
Yeah, that's
true. Could turn it into, like, a boulder necklace, but she'd have to keep it up the whole time.
Yeah, it's true. Hmm. So then they go to, like, a fair, and they have a really nice time overall.
An amusement park, and it appears that they've broken into it after hours.
Right, because there's, like, nobody there.
Nothing's on except somehow the Ferris wheel at some point.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, it's very eerily, like, almost apocalyptic, like...
They also, before they do that, they go get pie.
Yeah, they do get pie. Yeah.
And for some reason, that was, like, the part I remembered the clearest from when I saw it on TV was Beast Boy not being able to order thing because he's a vegetarian and she just orders pie for the both of them. I don't know why that stuck with me. I guess it's just...
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of things kind of... I remembered during this time growing up, I remembered quite a few of the season 2 episodes. Like the Winner Take All, I especially remember that one. I remembered how traumatized I was for transformation for Starfire's puberty. Of course, I was really invested in Beast Boy, which meant I was invested into Terra. So a lot of season 2 I have a lot of emotional and nostalgic memory for.
Yeah. But I guess just specifically that pie moment, because it's just so much more human than a lot of even the more, you know, lighthearted moments are. There's, like, they go into the diner and Beast Boy's, like, really comfortable because it's, like, a truck stop kind of place.
Yeah. That's right,
and
it is.
Yeah, and just everything about it seemed kind of familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tara was really in her element, too, because she was, like, she already had that on-the-road mentality, too. They had a lot of great moments in general, and it's funny because when you eventually get to the Ferris wheel part, it's very similar, like, almost in a certain way to season 1 with Robin and Starfire being on the Ferris wheel, too.
Mm-hmm.
And now these two are on a Ferris wheel, a much bigger one, And what's really funny is that they're, like, chilling on the Ferris wheel, and then that's when Slade, like interrupts their moment.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of funny to me. It's just like, how long has he been sitting in the Ferris wheel that entire time? You know,
did he just sort of scramble up?
He's just like, okay, they're not looking. And he just like quickly climbs up.
Have to open and close the door very quietly.
It is really funny to me. Like, it definitely has one thing that they do very well. And please forgive me if I'm talking a lot. But one thing that I think they're doing really well is really cranking that creepiness of Slade up to 11.
Yeah. Yeah, he really sucks in this season.
Yeah.
Might be a double standard, but I'm way less attracted to him this time around.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is that, I guess we'll talk about it again later on, but, like, his relationship with Robin, like, it's pretty skeevy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong for me to say this feels even more skeevy with,
Yeah, that's why I was referring to the double standard.
Yeah.
Although we also get way more episodes of it.
We do, that's for sure. And there's a lot more non-consensual.
There's also, like, we know Robin has friends. We know he's a strong character. We know he'll make it out of this. Tara is still new. She's very vulnerable. More so than Robin ever was.
Yeah.
And it's, like, she's just so clearly being taken advantage of, whereas Robin, you know, had to actually really be forced.
Right. Like he was being forced to do his otherwise. Because his friends
were in danger.
Had literal bombs in their veins, too.
Yes.
And
somehow there's something less skeevy about forcing a person against their will than just sort of convincing a person that they belong with you.
Yeah. Ugh. Well,
we're getting into dark territory here.
Well, I mean, that's what a lot of this has been. I mean, he's really playing into her self-doubt, her lack of confidence in herself.
Yeah, the thing that comes up with Tara all the time is she just wants someone to trust her, which is, like, such bullshit by this point.
Yeah.
She tries to bring it up before Slade shows himself that it's like, if I did something really horrible, would you be okay with it?
Would you still be my friend?
Yeah.
I think is what she says.
Yeah.
Because then Beast Boy's like, oh yeah, of course, yeah.
And it's like, wow, Tara, you're really deluding yourself here.
And then Beast Boy really screwed it in the end. Because,
oh yeah, he got super pissed.
Yeah, because he's like, you don't have any friends, he tells her. And I'm like,
not the time, Beast Boy.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't, like, it's understandable to be pissed, but, like, I feel like Beast Boy should have, like, recognized that Slade is a master manipulator, and that
he's not the smart one.
Yeah. But it does show, like,
empathy, yeah.
Empathy in later episodes. It's a bit of a character, like,
yeah, I think he just had a bad moment, but, yeah, I think you're right. It could have been written better.
Beast Boy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I never meant for any of this to happen.
Then why did you let it?
I don't know, okay? I don't know. Slade, he helped me, save me from myself. He said I owed him, but...
So it was all a game? You were just pretending?
You said you'd be my friend no matter what, remember?
Slade was right. You don't have any friends.
Apprentice, come. We've had a change of plans.
This is also in the more symbolic mirrors.
Yeah. Mirrors are always good symbolism into yourself.
Yeah, we got our maze of mirrors. You know how many of those are in Gotham?
It's very true.
I went in the mirror maze factory in Gotham.
Was there a mirror maze in Birds of Prey? I can't remember now.
I don't think there was, but that's so weird that there wasn't.
It was a really fun scene, though. God, I love that scene. That movie in general is fun, but that...
Hey, if you haven't seen Birds of Prey, go watch it. Now let us get back to our podcast.
Yes. And the thing is, one thing that they didn't even highlight or talk a lot about is Tara's actual past. We're just told that she was, like, on the run.
Well, as this was before continuity was really as strong as it is now in TV show, kids shows.
Yeah.
Nobody got a backstory until that later episode where it was everybody's backstory all of a sudden.
Right, in season 5. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I can't wait to watch that episode. That's going to be so much fun. Anyway.
But yeah, this people aren't supposed to have backstories. They have implied backstories, but we're never going to get into it.
Teen Titans is interesting when you look at the shows of Cartoon Network at the time. Because it comes out right when the quote-unquote golden era of Cartoon Network's beginning to dwindle down. And I'm talking about, like, Dexter, Powerpuff Girls, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Courage, Cowardly Dog.
All those cartoons?
Cartoons, yeah. And so that's beginning to kind of pave way for a new wave of shows. Of course, like Justice League, but I'm also talking about Samurai Jack, Kids Next Door, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, Megas XLR. So we're seeing a new breed of them. And like those, the ones that I mentioned originally, what continuity there was very minimal. A lot of times it was even negative continuity. Like you would have end of city explosions or whatever happening, and the next episode would happen like, it's reset button. And we get the same thing for Teen Titans. We're getting this like continuity creep from like season one, where you have season one and two has a lot of standalone episodes, but season two we're seeing more of that progression through Tara. And I'm curious to see how that will play out through season 3, 4, and 5, because season 3 will be Cyborg's season and season 4 will be Raven's.
I did make a comment on something that had nothing to do with the plot, and I don't even remember why the scene was there. But there's a part where Cyborg is raiding the fridge for a midnight snack, and since it's a cartoon, there is a fully made sandwich in there.
I mean, don't you make sandwiches and put them back in there?
The sauce gets into the bread. Maybe Cyborg likes soggy sandwiches.
Yeah.
All right. That's all. I had nothing of value to contribute there. On to Fractured. Speaking of nothing of value.
Fractured is so weird. I don't fully know what to make of it, you know?
As someone who grew up delighting in absurdism, like Yellow Submarine was my favorite movie for a long time growing up. I like when things get weird. Yeah. And honestly, this one could have gotten weirder. Like, I think the future Mumbo episode's definitely a lot weirder.
Future Mumbo, there's a future, oh, the Mumbo, and what's the Jack episode?
Mad Mod.
Wow, I don't know why I said Jack. Mad Mod.
Because Union Jack?
Yeah, that's right. The future Mad Mod and Jumbo episodes, Mumbo Jumbo, is going to be fantastic. So yes. I'm looking forward to those episodes.
It's kind of funny that they topped this one, honestly, because we have reality actually being warped.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is like, Larry is like, how do you say his name, Mr.? I'll just say Mixie. You were able to say it much
Mixel
better.
Mixel-spidelic.
Thank you very much.
I read a guide for it a long time ago, but I don't think anybody actually agrees with me.
Oh my gosh. Nobody would be able to agree with you on that pronunciation. But I'll just call him Mixie for sure. But yeah, no, he comes in, he has all his magic power on one finger, on his index finger. And this, by the way, is a Robin episode. Robin gets his arm broken because he's trying to capture Johnny Rancid.
Whose power is being a biker.
Yeah, being a douchebag biker. And so Robin gets his...
Wanted for noise pollution.
Yeah, he gets... Yeah. Johnny Rancid, I was just like, okay, like, I don't know.
Very low stakes villain for a weird episode.
Yeah, like, and wasn't that interesting overall. And so I guess that's why he had the most to gain for Larry's powers, so he could be even more of a schlob of a villain. Because basically, Larry's powers kind of go out of whack because he can't control them through his broken index finger. And so Johnny Rancid basically absorbs the powers of him for himself.
Of reality breaking.
And then he becomes like this, like, even more extreme version of himself. And it's pretty ridiculous.
As I mentioned in my brief summary, this is the first time that Robin is like, okay, I can't do anything, so I'm not going to do anything.
That was our cat just now. We have a cat, by the way. Her name's Mipha. Yeah, so Robin has a kind of a inferiority complex going on in this episode.
He doesn't, is what I'm saying.
No?
I mean, he does a little, but I'm just so excited that for once he's not going to obsessively keep doing something when he's exhausted himself, you know?
True. I was under the impression he was more kind of down about the whole thing.
That's what Larry seemed to think.
Hmm.
I feel like Larry's imposing that.
Ah.
I mean, they kind of do that because, like, the biker guy's obviously getting to Robin because his power is motorcycles and smack talk.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And Robin keeps getting angry and messing up because of it.
Larry is, I don't know, I didn't find him particularly likable. Yes, I was going to say endearing.
Starfire loved him, though.
Yeah. He was so...
Because he was like a tiny, fat Robin.
Because if you think about it, like, you have Larry, and then if you compare it to, like, Batmite from Brave and the Bold, and Mixie from the Superman cartoon from the 90s...
Was he voiced by Gilbert?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Gilbert Godfrey. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was interrupted. You really cannot top that, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, those two characters, those are really good. They're really different flavors of the same kind of super-dimensional, powerful imp. But Larry is just super, I don't know, just not likable at all. I don't know if it's the voice or its mannerisms or the way he's drawn, but I just...
The voice goes a long way.
Yeah.
Like, he's not really that obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's genuinely trying to help, and I forget what it was that cracked reality. Like, it was Robin struggling against him, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he breaks his finger, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Yes.
Which we really haven't really touched on too much. The thing that everything becomes like a child's coloring book, you know?
Yeah. Everything's like simple and cartoony, and Beast Boy's mouth is run away somehow.
The whole jokes of the mouths was the best part about that episode.
Yeah.
Because Beast Boy can't talk, so he steals... I forgot who he steals. He steals, like, someone's mouth, and then they steal someone else's mouth, and then they steal someone else's mouth.
Yes, and that actually switches their voice actors.
Yeah, so the voice actors now try to emulate the character that they're now speaking from, and it's pretty great. I want to say that he steals from Raven first.
Yeah.
And then Raven steals
Cyborg.
Cyborg, and then Cyborg steals from Starfire. That's yes. What it is. And, like, so the way that they're now... talking through their voices. It was such a brief scene, but it was so funny because it reminded me of the Flash and Lex Luthor episode from Justice League.
Yes, the best body swapping episode, which I think we already discussed.
Yes, we love to bring that one up.
Raven, fix his finger!
Not a good idea. Mixing my powers with his could destroy the dimensional boundaries and nullify all existence.
Who cares? I just want my mouth back.
No problem, no problem. If anybody can fix reality, it's my hero, Robin.
What makes you think I can fix it? I don't even understand how we broke it.
Well, somebody's got to clean up this mess. Come on, y'all.
We're heading for Titan's Tower.
Trying to think what else.
I have a note with no context that should not have worked. I think I'm referring to when Rancid jumps into the glowing beam of breaking reality and somehow absorbs its power.
It seems legit, you know, like, it's like, oh, you know, big powerful beam heading up to the sky.
Although,
I'm gonna go
since
for
it. The world's shaped after his psyche, I think, I guess it was just the power of imagination that he jumped into.
Yeah.
Which has some unfortunate implications about their reality that we already know as viewers.
Yeah.
It's that they're animated.
So then the world becomes from like a childlike children's book, coloring book, to this kind of super dark, gritty, noir setting. And basically the complete opposite in tone and style from Larry's viewpoint.
Oh, and once he gets superpowered, he loses his bicycle helmet, which I thought they were having him wear in the first place to show responsible biking.
Right. And then basically they beat him by goading him, just like trying to outrace him, outdo him, and then basically just burns through the powers. And then they're able to fix it. So, good work. Good work, Robin and Larry. I don't know. Compared to other reality warping episodes and from other TV shows even, it's okay. This episode was all right.
Back after the series ended, there was a short run of comic books based on Teen Titans. It was called Teen Titans Go, which is confusing to differentiate it from the other Teen Titans comics, just as the Teen Titans Go cartoon is called Go to differentiate it from the other Teen Titans cartoon. Anyway, Larry showed up a few times in that, and I know in at least one of them it was to make ships come true. Like, bunch of just all the characters getting paired up left and right. So, like, I appreciate him for his potential in just letting the writers do whatever the hell they want for an episode. I don't think they got to use him to his full potential because the series ended, but,
right.
Like, I like reality warping.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a show that's allowed to get silly like Teen Titans does.
Yeah, Teen Titans has that on its side. I'm trying to think of a good example right now. But because Teen Titans has that knack of going from serious to fun, goofy episodes, it really can pull it off pretty nicely overall. Justice League leans more on that heavy side. Oh, I know what it reminds me of, Samurai Jack. Because a lot of times the Samurai Jack episodes can be pretty serious, but every now and then you can have more of the lighthearted episodes.
Yes, often, sometimes making fun of the show itself.
Yeah, I know, which is great. Like that Aku episode where he's talking to the children. So good. All right, so let's talk about Aftershock. There's two of them, so I've been keep meaning to say Aftershocks. And Mary keeps correcting me that it's Aftershock, which she is correct. But we'll just call them collectively Aftershocks. I remember when this episode came out on Cartoon Network. They made a really big deal about this. I remember, like, eagerly waiting to watch the episode on Saturday evening. I think my parents were, like, had friends or guests over or whatever, so I snuck away and watched the last two episodes. And it was crazy. But basically, the show starts off with them just chilling and relaxing, like eating pizza, and then they get attacked by Terra. And I have to ask, like, how long has it been since they parted ways with Terra, you know?
Yeah, after a betrayal ends explicitly on Beast Boy being heartbroken with the gift he gave Terra.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're at the point that he's gotten over it.
Yeah.
Maybe. At least he's past the crying and eating ice cream out of the carton phase.
Yeah. He was crying as a dog on her bed.
Yeah.
Which was very, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah, you want empathy, you turn into a sad puppy.
You turn into a sad puppy. Anyway, there's a really great moment during the episodes when after Terra attacks and they're trying to, like get their act together and fight back. Terra makes golems.
Oh, yeah.
Animated golems. And she's like, whoa, I didn't know I could do that. And Slade's like, it's your new suit. It has powers now. They can do things like that.
But, like, he was like, I can directly tap into your powers.
And I feel like I don't know. Is it just me or is it, it feels weird that...
My very first note for this episode is Slade is a creepy ass. That might have been what I was referring to. I'm not sure.
He's basically like... he's connected to her suit, which...
Wait, you said everyone was eating pizza. Did you make a note of that?
No.
I don't think they were.
Oh.
They were not. They were riding in the... They were riding in the tea car.
Oh, they were just riding...
And making jokes.
That's what happened.
Beast Boy was making bad jokes, and then they get hit by a rock.
That's what it was. Wow, I totally forgot about it.
I know. There's a lot of eating pizza.
There is a lot of pizza. I assume whenever they're in the city, they're eating pizza.
No, it happens so often. I just have everyone in the car is cute. Where are they going? So there was a scene before that
where Slade was going to the pizza.
Probably, but there was a scene before that where Slade was being a creepy ass.
Oh, yeah. True.
Also, I have the note, what are windows, which I think is referring to whatever the hell Slade's office has a view of.
Yeah,
was
Slade
is like... Was it a volcano? Was it a weird hell furnace?
Yeah, Slade was like underground the entire time, too.
But he has windows.
Mm-hmm. There's a part when after Terra attacks, they're discussing whether she's evil or not, and Cyborg drops the line... Girl wrecked my car. Seems pretty evil to me. Which I think was one of the standout lines to this episode.
Yes. Also very well delivered.
Yeah.
The serious Cyborg's voice is always just really stays with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny because it's too bad because what's his name? Wasabi in Big Hero 6?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Wasabi doesn't really have those many... serious moments.
He is more high-strung and high-pitched, yes.
Yeah. Cyborg at least has that kind of...
Yeah, he has his moods.
Yeah. Which really kind of, I don't know, helps seal the intensity of the moment. But also it was nice because the way he delivered it wasn't like he was being a deadpan about it. Like he was being, how do you say, like 100%... I guess 100% serious, you know? Like, yes. It's still like a touch of sarcasm in his voice, which is very nice.
All right, this brings back Beast Boy hoping there's some good in her after he just completely broke her heart.
Right, because he's convinced the team, like, let's give her one more chance and see if she's good. And so they're like, fine, Beast Boy, we'll give her one more chance. And so, right before this happens, Slade busts out Plasmus, Overlord, and Cinderblock.
Is it Overlord or Overload?
Overload. Okay. Excuse me. Overload out of jail. And he puts controls on all three of them, which I get for Plasmus and Overload, since they're kind of their own entities. But I thought he was, like, on good terms with Cinderblock, you know?
Maybe that's what he needs to do, the fusion later.
Yeah, the fusion is crazy. Like, they just
but
all...
That's the next episode.
That is the next episode, but, like, they all fuse together. And what's really nice is this kind of goes to show that, like, the three monstrosities basically split up, and then the Teen Titans is like, we're gonna go take care of these big dudes. And they're able to handle them all pretty easily with just the one or two of them, you know? Whereas before, it would have taken all five of them...
To take down one?
Just take down one. Especially Plasmus. Like, now it's just like, two or one. Like...
It's also not... Is it, like, basic Plasmus, or is he still superpowered?
It's still superpowered.
Oh, okay.
Because he's got the eyes and everything.
But, yeah, I guess once you defeat him once, it starts getting easier.
Yeah. They're not
That's
like...
That's how cartoons work.
Yeah, but they're also not, like, intelligent beings or whatever who could learn from the fight. I guess Overload is, though, from a certain point of view, but...
Anywho.
Anyway, this brings us to one of the best moments that a lot of people remember. When they split up, because they split up, they fight the monsters, they defeat the monsters, but then Terra comes in and just wipes the floor of them.
And takes them out one by one.
Yeah, and so I always, when I was going into it, like, I was like, oh... I just remember her fight with Raven the most, probably because...
It was the coolest.
It was the coolest fight. Turns out she didn't really have a fight with everyone else. She had a fight with Robin.
And he gets away.
Yeah, he gets away. Like, they have
some sparring. Yeah, it's like she knocks... Starfire and Robin were working together on their respective, I think. Which one was it?
They were fighting Cinderblock. Yep.
And so they're the only ones that aren't alone.
Yeah. And then Cyborg and Beast Boy were taking on Plasmus.
Oh, never mind. They weren't alone either.
Yeah.
Raven was the only one working alone because she's super strong.
Yeah, so she was like, I got this. And so, like, those, like, the other ones were like chumps. Like,
yeah.
They just went down, like, super
and
fast.
Looking on it again, I'm wondering, now, did we have that fight because at some point the storyboarders were like, holy crap, this is going to be so cool.
Yeah.
To let, you know, Raven be angry and let loose. Or is it because they've had this whole, like, story arc where Raven was slow to come around to her?
Yeah, because in the episode of Titan Rising, that's where, like, everyone's kind of like...
Because aside from Beast Boy, that's the only other Titan she really had a narrative arc with.
Yeah, pretty much. From a certain point of view, she could have had one. She, I guess very minorly with, Robin because of the apprenticeship.
Oh my god, imagine if they'd actually talked to each other about that.
They kind of did through the fighting, but like, it wasn't much. So I wish...
I mean, like normal people, not like Terra, brainwashed Terra.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But the fight with Raven and Terra... It's, like, so good. They're all covered in mud.
That's where all the animation budget for the season went.
She, like, Raven turns into a huge monster and then gets pulled under and looks like she drowns in mud, which is crazy, which is incredibly scary.
A horrible way to go.
Yeah.
And since she needs to say things to use her magic.
Yeah.
Not really sure how she survived that one. Mm-hmm. I guess sheer rage.
Sheer grit and determination.
I mean, no. Like, she would have survived it. Because the Azerath Metreon Xynthos is just a focus to keep her powers under control. If she's dying, her powers are going to go out of control.
Right. That's true.
Hadn't thought of that.
Can't wait for season 4.
Speaking of. So, yeah. So
they all get, like, quote-unquote defeated. What's up, Mary?
I had a note here from, I guess, Beast Boy's fight with Plasmus, which is all the cancer.
Yeah, because he gets thrown into it, pretty much.
Yeah, the weird, like, nuclear pustules on Plasmus.
Yeah, like, it's funny because it was like...
Maybe shapeshifters are more immune to cancer.
Yeah, it was like Cyborg and Beast Boy against Plasmus, which I would not have put Beast Boy against Plasmus. I put him against Cinderblock, sure, but...
I don't know, like, most animals can't break through concrete.
Right.
They can break through sludge.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Either way, he's kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So at the end of the episode, they all get quote-unquote defeated, but now they vowed, like, okay, we're no longer going to be playing nice.
They're underground, and they're mad.
They're pissed. And so then that's when...
And it's funny, they're all talking about how they're all, like, really mad. And then Robin shows up, and it's like, yeah, we're mad.
We're super mad. So then they come back in the second episode, and basically Slade has taken over the entire city.
Which brings us to a question that may come up once or twice later. Where are the other superheroes?
Yeah, the other superheroes are not here. For whatever reason, they're like, well, that city's busted. All right, well, you win some, you lose some.
I can't come up with an explanation for that.
I know,
it's like, I don't want to give Slade so much credit that he somehow managed to, like, knock out all communications, but also make it look like everything's fine.
Yeah, it has a very No Man's Earth on it.
And the sky's orange.
Yeah, they did a really... They went out of their way to make the colors and the scenery here very unsettling.
Yeah, everything's in ruins. There's phone booths. Oh, right. I think that was, like... They showed, like, decimated phone booths when they're showing all the ruins. I think that's just supposed to be shorthand for nobody can call outside.
Nobody can call outside.
Nobody has cell phones.
Man, remember when phone booths were a thing? Good times. So, Tara's being a badass, and then it's foggy, And so then the Titans just come in and just start ripping her a new one through a fog.
That was a weird way to put that. Also, I wanted to say it'd be funny if, like, the other villains in the city started showing up.
Yeah, it has a very dead-end feel to it. Like, it's very...
like, nothing else exists.
Nothing else exists, yeah. Nothing else matters right now.
Like, Mumbo just pops out of somewhere and Terra throws a rock at him.
He's like, nope, I guess I'm not doing anything today. Yeah, because you got all these other villains and they're, like... I guess they're just chilling? They're taking it easy? I'm also wondering what was the overall strategy, overall goal of Slade. I guess he just wants to take over the world, huh?
Oh, and we forgot to bring up Slade, take over the... Yeah, he's just a control freak.
That's fair. No, well, he's not the control freak.
No, but he's creepy. Wants to creep all over everything.
Creep over everything.
Also, we failed to mention Terra's sweet new threads. Because, as all creepy villains do, he gave her a brand new outfit.
Yeah.
This one's mostly bandages, except for a halter top and a diaper. And, like, some things on her ears.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I would have thought the outfit looked cool, except for the goddamn diaper. Do you see that thing?
So it's not the one from...
Robin's outfit looked nice.
Well, that's when his butler was still alive.
I forgot about the butler.
I know, right?
What happened to the butler?
I think the butler died in season one.
From what?
Being squished by rubble? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But we don't see him at all.
Was he just in the pilot? God, I forgot about the butler.
Yeah, I know, right?
Miss Alfred is broken.
Miss Alfred is broken.
I need a new one.
So, Tara's in trouble. And Slade's like, I got your back, girl. And he combines all three monsters into this monstrosity thing. The Teen Titans handle that pretty well. And then Beast Boy is, like, fucking determined, though. He's like... It's funny because, these last few episodes have shown me, like, if Beast Boy is determined, he will get, like, shit done. Because on the Ferris wheel for Betrayal, he wasn't going to win against Slade, but he was doing a fairly good job, like, keeping up with him, which is pretty nice. And in this case, he's like, I'm going to go find Slade, I'm going to go find Terra, and we're going to get through this. And so he, like, transforms into animals, and he basically sneaks underground and infiltrates it before Robin even gets anywhere close to getting to where he's at.
Yeah. It's good showing from Beast Boy. God, I wish I was more elaborate on my notes.
No, that's okay. We're getting back into this.
Right. You also said, like, Slade was like, I got your back, girl. He most definitely did not have her back. He was yelling at her to stay and fight, even though she was probably going to die if she did.
That's right. He definitely was not supportive,
and
Dad.
And when she gets back to him, he beats her up. Which, did he... I guess, like, it's worse in this case. I don't remember if he beat on Robin when Robin tried to defy him. Actually, he didn't want to kill Robin.
No, he really wanted him alive.
Yeah, he liked Robin a lot better than he likes Terra. Right, him beating her up, I think one of the reasons it's worse is because he was, like, almost a father figure to her in a twisted way.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is just trying not to die, and he's like, nope, not good enough.
Yeah, he was very cruel to her, which really kind of pushed her over the edge to say, like, no, I've had enough with your bullshit. And then she starts fighting against him. And, like, he's controlling her, and he's using her as a tool to fight Beast Boy with.
And Beast Boy's getting pissed off at her because he's like, you always had a choice, which at this point she literally does not.
Yeah, I know. It's really unfair for Beast Boy to kind of, like, call Terra out on that when... She literally, yeah, doesn't have any choice right now.
Robin did it, so.
Yeah. Beast Boy, like, frustrates me a lot these past few episodes. Just, like, how much his character seems to swing back and forth between, like, emotions and senses and goals.
Yeah, being empathetic and then just being really pissy. And sometimes just optimistic with not any real foundation for it. Anyway, this is a mess of emotions. Slade dies. He's super dead. So dead.
He dies by magma.
Yeah,
He falls into the magma, and then the last we see is his mask being melted by the magma.
Yeah. No, this is not a case of if we can't find the body, he's alive. He is super dead.
He is super dead. Which, honestly, I forgot how season four plays out with Raven. Because Slade does come back.
And he's super dead.
And he's still super dead.
Yes.
Supposedly.
No, he's super dead.
Okay. We'll find out then.
No, I remember this very end of that. He's super dead.
So what's happening is that Tara kills Slade through her powers, but all the energy and rumble and...
She causes earthquakes when she's upset. She's very upset.
And so the whole underground lair begins to collapse in. So she's trying her best to hold it up. And she's like, go Beast Boy! And he's like, no! But he gets out of the way and... She manages to stop the lair from killing Robin and Beast Boy, but she's turned to stone in the process.
As you do.
Yeah. So it's which is a real dick move of her. which I always wonder, like, why exactly she turns into stone.
We never get an explanation.
No.
I think it seemed like a way to show, hey, she's not doing anything anytime soon. This is her body.
Right.
But also, it's not a corpse, so yay.
Right. Also, which leads to that series finale cliffhanger with...
I don't accept that as a series finale. I accept it as a last episode.
It is a last
episode. It is not a finale.
It is... I don't know. It does feel like a finale to me. We'll talk about it. I have very mixed emotions about that finale. Yeah, she's turned to stone, and the Titans kind of give her a reprieve and tell her that she's now officially a Teen Titans member and friend. And that's how season two ends.
Remember, if you redeem yourself and then die, you don't have to face any consequences for your actions.
Right. There seems to be, like, more debate about that, more discussion about that lately.
I'm always mad about it. I mean, not so much in Teen Titans, because it's not really that kind of series. But, right. Like, when they do that in movies, and it's like, it would have been a more interesting character arc if this person went to jail.
And I think where we're coming off of is, because a few months ago, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker had come out. And there, Ben Solo kind of nopes his way out of the dark side, brings Rey back, and then dies in the process. So instantly, he doesn't have to face any kind of consequence, trial, or whatever punishment for his deeds as basically being a...
Or, you know, just dealing with... people having emotions at him.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of took the easy way out.
But I was actually thinking of Godzilla, weirdly. The last American Godzilla movie.
King of the Monsters?
King of the Monsters.
Oh, for the mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's right, you were telling me about this.
Oh, well, also, the mother was more interesting than the father, so I would have preferred...
One shot.
She lived anyway, but it would have been... Like, it wouldn't have changed anything, practically speaking, if the mom didn't die. Just this way, we don't have to deal with her being a criminal, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because dying did not redeem her.
Mm-hmm.
And dying did not make her more interesting. Dying did not make anything else more interesting.
Yeah.
Especially after much more interesting deaths.
Yeah, I know.
So many.
Godzilla King of the Monsters is a discussion for another time, but to put it in a succinctly, yes, I agree with you. 100% I agree with you.
In summary, stop killing characters when you could, like, milk their angst and emotion for every drop it's worth.
Again, Steven Universe does that really nicely with the likes of anyone from as simple as Lapis to Peridot, Jasper, and even the diamonds to an extent. So, excellent. So, season two. Overall,
it's over.
Overall, what you think about season two versus season one?
Well, since we kind of spread it out a bit long, I'm ending a little uncomfortable with everything because Tara is a complicated character and makes things complicated and unsatisfying. She kind of brought out the worst in a lot of people in a meta sense.
Yeah. I think season two really kind of helped make Teen Titans a classic for Cartoon Network. I think based on that ending, based on Tara herself, she is such a controversial character that she brought so much to the table and so much heartbreak and love and support and hatred.
It's interesting because, you know, she's downright evil in the comics and somehow they still maintain the stakes while still making her not completely evil.
Right. I think it just, because of her, it made the show more than just some sort of weird anime parody. Weird, goofy anime parody. Like, it's actually like a show that can have some bite to it.
I mean, thinking back on the first season, it had a bite. It was laid alone, really.
Right, but in that case, we didn't have any major character deaths.
True. It was more of a more shonen-y, I guess.
Right. And here we have the likes of, like, new villains.
Yeah.
We are pushing our characters.
Even when we win, we still lose something.
Right. We're having that loss, which I think is kind of boggles my mind as a kid.
It really paves the way for Raven's arc.
Yeah. As a kid, I didn't have that any kind of major loss. Because like I said, I really put myself into Beast Boy's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So by extension, I like was crushing on Tara because I was at that age too. And so like having her like basically be killed is, and have that betrayal and be killed, it's just like, oh my God. Like it was really crazy. Nothing else for me at that time would have come close to that. Favorite and least favorite episodes?
Well, apparently we agree.
Yeah, we do.
So what do we want to start with?
Let's do the least favorite one because I want to give it out of the way. Every Dog Has Its Day. See, it was in episode 2. It's the one where the alien comes from outer space and mistakes Beast Boy for his pet dog. And then everything about that episode is uncomfortable. It's the antagonist is annoying.
It's not very flattering for Beast Boy either.
No. It's such a downer episode, you know? Like he's trapped, he can't escape. It's by this uncaring master and it's just like
on the All other right. hand, the part that I'd forgotten from the episode that was actually really great is when they're chasing around an alien dog that they think is Beast Boy.
It is very fun. That part is, the non-Beast Boy parts serve as the lighter moments, and they do a good job with that.
But, yeah, to the actual meat of the episode, it was a Beast Boy episode, and it's all about how he's sad, and then it's about how he's captured and may never see his home again.
Right.
And he's getting tortured.
Right. Because he's like, the moral of the episode, like, he wants to feel useful or he wants to feel wanted, and
yeah,
now he's being over-wanted. It feels like punishment for him.
Yeah.
The episode that we liked a lot was the Fear Itself. And this is the one where Raven loses control of her powers through fear, and the movies, the scary movie they watch, begin to attack them.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Oh my God.
And yeah, this one I feel like is a classic. It just really stays with you. See it once, it stays with you forever, especially at the ages we were when we were seeing it.
Yeah.
And it's good and terrifying, even when it's trying to be self-aware about it being a horror movie.
Yeah, Beast Boy. I still remember, like, Beast Boy saying, like, see, funny guy goes first!
And he's being dragged down the hall.
Into the shadows. Oh my God, like, that's the thing that sticks to you, is those moments, those quotes, and then it just, like, lasts on you.
And then, of course, there's the, I am afraid, but I can still fight you.
So good. Oh, man. And then that's when Control Freak first shows up as well.
Yeah, which leads to another ludicrous episode later. So another good character.
Yeah, it's funny. You know what I've been noticing is that some of the, like, Mumbo Jumbo and Control Freak were both introduced as, like, side antagonists, like background antagonists, mm-hmm. before people were like, wait a minute, these guys are actually pretty fun. Let's give them a full episode to them. And
greetings, Titans.
Greetings, Titans.
Oh my God. I do want to say a close contender for my favorite was Date with Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Good use of a lesser known villain, Killer Moth. Just really funny. Also, the WTF factor of Spiderhead.
Spiderhead.
But yeah, just everything about it was just inspired, I feel.
Yeah, agreed.
And also, it leads to us getting Silky.
Yes.
I forgot about Silky till just now.
Yeah, Silky.
I guess that's next season?
Yes. I was about to say, because Silky doesn't come from this episode.
A different Killer Moth episode?
Different Killer Moth episode, yeah.
Well, still, Killer Moth leads to us getting Silky.
Maybe. Oh no, maybe it does. I don't quite remember how they get Silky. They don't have Silky yet, though. I just remember Starfire feeding Silky goo. Okay, I guess one more thing I want to ask off the top of my head is, like, are there any episodes or things that you're still looking forward to within these next three seasons?
Well, Raven's story arc, Doom Patrol... the episode where they're in TV.
They're in a TV?
They're in TV. They're in TV land.
Huh.
It's a Control Freak episode.
Oh, Control Freak, right. Yeah, we just talked about it. Okay.
Bunny Raven.
I was about to say, I'm looking forward to Bunny Raven. I'm looking forward to all the... I'm looking forward to Bunny Raven. I'm looking forward to the one where Beast Boy goes crazy and turns into a werewolf.
Kid Flash. Oh, the Titans East. I love them.
Yep, they're going to be coming up this next season.
And I also especially love when Control Freak meets Titans East, but that's much later.
Much, much later, yeah. The other... Oh, and the flashback episode. A lot of stuff in season...
I actually don't care that much about the flashback episode.
Oh, I do, I think, mainly based on principle that it's a flashback. I don't know. I'm always good for that. Background lore building, story building.
When Beast Boy gets a bit of an upgrade on his powers is nice.
Yeah, and then he gets that through the werewolf episode, I think.
Yeah, but also when he realizes he can be aliens.
He can be... Oh, yeah! Well, that's when Starfire gets married, too.
I didn't remember that part.
Yeah.
Just remembered Beast Boy gets
Or Starfire.
Also, eyeball pizza thingy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant the tofu. I don't know why.
Tofu episode.
The tofu episode's so bananas. Holy shit.
That's one of my favorites for a reason I'll get into when we cover it.
Excellent. Okay. It sounds like we're like, I guess we'll reflect this on this again, but I feel like we're going to get to see more silly... As the show progressed, we're going to see those more experimentation.
Yeah, like, what really impressed us was the serious episodes, but what really stayed with us were a lot of the silly things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, and when they start expanding the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Double true.
Giving out communicators left and right.
It's going to be great. Okay.
Also, well, Cardiac.
Which one's Cardiac?
Cardiac is a villain that I think was introduced to the show because they're like, you know what? We need more anime-like villains. And then they had, like, a giant fucking heart that kidnaps children or something weird.
I vaguely remember this. Wow. I'm going to be hitting my head like, oh, yeah, I remember this now when I see it. Can't wait for that. Anyway, I feel like a lot of these are on season 4 and 5, and it's going to be fun. But we're looking for the season 3. We're going to keep this up now that we've in a more stable situation. I'm thinking maybe release an episode every 2 weeks. I hope you like this show. If you just join us now, I know we kind of started at the end of season 2, but that's why you can join us again for season 3. And I guess watch with us. Comment anything. Talk about your favorite episodes, your favorite characters. Tell us your feelings about Tara. Love to hear about that, in all honesty. I'm not being sarcastic there. I think that'd be really fun to hear what other people would have to say about Tara.
Do we have an email?
We do. It's maryandandygeekout@gmail.com.
I forgot we'd set that up.
Yeah.
People send us emails so we don't forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to send us, I mean, you can also give us a review as well. That'd be great. But for now, I mean, the fact that if you're just listening to us, it's pretty great in our book. So, in the meanwhile, thanks again for listening. And we hope to hear you again next time.
Smash that like.
Smash that like! Everybody ended on that bit. Bye. Bye.